Let's pray and we'll jump right in. God, thanks for the night. Thanks for the gift of a gorgeous day. It's just beautiful. And we just worship you, Creator, who lets us live on this earth and enjoy your beauty. And we pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal things to us about ourselves and particularly about those relationships that are difficult for us, and that we would learn much as you teach us tonight. Lord, make things clear. There's a lot to process, and I pray that each one of us would have the nuggets of truth that we need to leave this room and be able to approach a relationship, a conflict, a little bit differently than we have before. So we trust you, Lord. We commit the night to you, and thank you for the comfortability and luxury of this building, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are snacks. Feel free to help yourself. I will do like an overview on the personalities for the first hour, and then we'll take a break and you can get more coffee or whatever, use the restroom. And then the second half, we'll talk about tips for balancing the personalities, okay? So the way I'd like to start is to introduce you to my husband. Some of you know him, some of you do not, and he's not here, and he's probably thrilled because he would not want us to even notice him, but I want to give you a little glimpse into what our relationship was like. His name is Dave, and I'm a night owl, and Dave is a morning person. I'm talkative and loud. Dave is reserved and quiet. I never meet a stranger. It takes Dave years to make a friend. I'm trusting. He's suspicious. I like to spend money. He likes to, save money. I'm energized by people. He is absolutely drained by people. I exaggerate, Dave understates. My glass is always half full, his is always half empty. I'm always in a hurry, he likes to move slowly. I speak my mind, Dave reserves judgment. I love a party, he loves a night at home alone. I'm decisive, he's not. I drive by landmarks and get lost easily, and I'm always sure I know where I'm going. He meticulously pays attention to GPS. He used to love to use maps, still likes to, and he never gets lost. And last but not least, I drive Dave crazy and he drives me crazy. So you all could stand up and do a thing about your mom, your best friend, your husband, your kid, whatever. No matter how much we love someone and want to get along with them, it is hard sometimes to understand someone when they're different, let alone know how to navigate through a relationship with them, isn't it? It's just a part of life that can really be a struggle for us. Romans 12:16, I have it in the Amplified Bible on your handout. We're not going to read the whole thing. I just want us to hang out with that first little phrase. Live in harmony with one another, Paul tells us. Live in harmony with one another. That word harmony, very interesting, means one of two things. A state of national tranquility exempt from rage and war. Sounds more like our home sometimes. And secondly, it means peace between individuals. So if we're to live in harmony with each other and we can't get along, how do we do that? How do we make that happen? I think understanding personalities is one of the most helpful ways of bringing harmony. Even though it doesn't solve all the problems, it does help us so much. I was telling someone this morning who was asking kind of why we were doing this, and I said, you know, it's so easy to get defensive in a relationship and think that person is trying to annoy me, to hurt me, to push my buttons, especially the more you know them and the more you love them. But really often, not always, people can push buttons and annoy you on purpose and all that. But very often, it's more about the way we're wired. And when we understand how these different personalities are wired, it doesn't let everybody off the hook and give everybody excuses to be ridiculous, but it does help us to understand and come at things sometimes in a little different way. The problem is that so often we make different wrong. We make different wrong, don't we? And when we make different wrong, it leads to conflict. So I want you, if you will, to take your index card and write about this on it, and then talk at your tables if you're willing to share this. Think of a current relationship, whether it's just right now, a specific conflict, or a chronic kind of thing in a relationship that is marked, that you would say is marked by frustration, annoyance, and misunderstanding. and then briefly list the behaviors in that other person that are annoying to you, frustrating to you, and that cause the misunderstandings. Okay, so just write that. You don't have to share it if you don't want to, but when you're done, if your other partner or your person at your table is done, talk about that just a little bit. Now it really feels like a test. It's so quiet. You know what? Keep writing. But since we got started late, I'm going to refrain from having you share those. And we're going to do something with them at the end, and we'll share at that time. I think that'll be better because we got a little bit of a late start, and I want to be able to get you guys out of here in time. We ended today with about 15 minutes for discussion if people want to stick around for that. And I have a discussion question, but we'll see how that goes. You can keep writing if you need to and just tuck that away or pull it out in a minute. So if we make difference is wrong, and that leads to conflict. The solution to that is seeking to understand, we get that, but also something I call normalizing the differences. Normalizing the differences is to shift from making different wrong or weird to normal and healthy. So we want to shift from making different, being different. So often we decide we're too different. We can't get along. We can't cohabitate. We can't share the same office space. We can't be on this team together. We, you know, whatever. I can't wait till that kid's out of my house, you know, whatever it might be. But being different is okay. We want to shift from making different wrong and weird to normal and healthy and expect it. God plans for us to live with people who are the opposite. Maybe that isn't true in your house. Very, very true in most homes, though, that some of you, at least, are very opposite of one another, and so that causes issues. When someone is different than us, we often say or think, they're kind of weird. Dr. Robert Rahm is an expert in the field of DISC personality theory. He has a website called Personality Insight. .com. I don't think there's an S. Personality, I don't remember. It's either personalityinsight.com or insights.com. There's great stuff on there, books, and he's got short videos and just all kinds of information. I get a daily thing about that comes into my email. And he has this phrase, I love it. We are all wired, we're not weird. We're all wired, we're not weird. And that's a very helpful thing for us to remind ourselves that personality is the way that we're innately wired. The behavior, obviously, that we're born with. Personality is the way we look at and deal with life. Personality is something we need in order to function as a human being. That's why many of us grow up and we end up unhealthy. Because we're born with this innate personality that needs to get its energy a certain way and navigate through life a certain way. And we have parents who also, you know, like we are as parents, you know, everybody has their level of unhealthiness. And they might have a real problem with one part of your personality or whatever. Who knows what the dynamics are in a home. And so you grow up very often denying a part of your personality. That's what's so very interesting about those two graphs. And for me to see my whole life completely denied the D in me, it very often when you come into that healthy place, and for lack of a better term, that D is let out, and it's free to be who it's meant to be inside of me, there is something so exhilarating about that for us. So we need our personality to navigate through life, and we need the freedom to be who we are. And so it's, if you're raising children, it's helpful to understand who they are. And our personality is what gives us energy. So you probably didn't have a whole lot of time to take this test. It really won't take you long. If you want to just pull that out, don't overthink it. There's not right or wrong. Notice that it says who you are most of the time, and see who you come out to be. And if you're not sure, some people this morning are like, I don't really know. Just wait. You can just leave it till afterwards. You'll know a little better after we talk about it. Just no stress. While you're finishing it, most of us are, I think everyone really, is a combination of at least two, but we are predominantly one style or type and subdominantly another. So hopefully you had a square that came out with more circles than the others. So that would be what you put on the bottom, the box that that you came out with the most squares. So let me tell you what each square represents in terms of the disc. Type one is the D. Type 2 is the I, 3 is the S, 4 is the C. So, how many D's in the room? Okay. How many I's? Only a few of us. How many S's? It's always the most. How many C's? Okay. Thank you. Gary Smalley, who's I would say is an expert in personality theory, he said every family should be so blessed to have at least one golden retriever in their home. The golden retriever is the S. The reason the golden retriever has his back to us is because she is the kind of personality that comes into a room and is thinking, please don't notice me, please don't make a big deal over me, just let me be over here, I'm fine, don't call me out. You'll see that she's going to warm up in just a minute with us. And the D, the lion, large and in charge, good way to describe the D. Not bad. We'll find out. None of these, there's not one that's better than the other. The only one that has a party hat on is the I, and sitting on the lion's head, which is kind of surprising. Not sure the D would really let an I do that. But the I has decided, well, and I'm an I, so I said, well, this is what you're going to do. And then the C over here comes prepared at all times. The C is sitting on a box of files in case I need something. The C has some wipes for those tables. They're always prepared. Okay, so that's just a little peek into those different personalities. There are many theories. The labels are different, but experts agree that there are four basic personality types, some experts call them styles, that bear characteristics that are distinctive to each one. Experts tell us there's four dimensions of behavior, 15 classic patterns. I'm an ID, that's one of the classic patterns. And listen to this, 2014 different combinations. Dr. Robert Rahm wrote a great book called Who Do You Think You Are? Anyway. And it talks about the combinations. And when I read, because I'm an ID S. My S is much less, but you, when you get the graph, there's a midline. And any letter that's over the midline is a part of who you are. Now my I hits the top, my D is right, and then my S is right over the midline. So when I read about the combination of I, D, S, it explained so many more things to me. I highly recommend that book. I wish I had it, but a senior at Grace Prep is doing personalities for his senior project, and I'm speaking there tomorrow, and so he's got my book. But anyway, excellent book. And tonight I'll be talking about pure D, pure I. Now, rarely is anybody pure D, I, S, C, but it's the easiest way to do an overview. So the animals came from this book. This is a book I also highly recommend if you have children or grandchildren. It's called The Treasure Tree. Gary Smalley and his wife Norma, as well as John Trent and his wife Cindy, wrote this together. And it's a delightful book because each chapter is about each one of the personality styles and how the strengths of that style help them get a part of a key, like a fourth of a key. When each style has done their thing to get their part of the key, they put all the pieces together, it turns into a key that unlocks the gate for the treasure tree. It's a really, really great book. Ours is falling apart. My boys used to love to read it, talked all about who they were, and it really capitalizes on strengths. That's one of the things I love about it. So it's kind of like a chapter book, but it really isn't a chapter book. It's obviously an illustrated book, but the chapters are small. So I very much recommend that. That's where the animals came from. And obviously, on your handout, there's blanks. Obviously, the lion is the D, otter is the I, golden retriever is the S, and the beaver is the C. So I want to introduce them to you as if for them as a child entering a classroom on the very first day of school, okay? The D enters confidently because Ds enter a room always with a very take-charge manner. The D puts her backpack in the correct place, finds her assigned seat, promptly tells the teacher why her seat needs to be moved somewhere else. The D tells every other kid what to do when they walk in, where to sit, what not to do, how to do it, when to do it. When the teacher asks a question about a classroom rule, the D raises their hand, waits to be called on, and takes a stab at the answer. There's an amazing thing that goes on with Ds. They can make impulsive decisions that are typically right on the money. They're usually very wise. Now, we'll talk about the I and her impulsiveness. It's very different than the D. The D can make quick decisions, and they're usually good decisions. The I comes into the classroom walking backwards and talking because I's enter every room with their mouth first. The I bumps into someone and laughs because they think everything is funny and they think everybody else thinks everything is funny. They forget their backpack in the hallway. They don't know that, so someone has to tell them to go out and get their backpack. When they go out to get their backpack, they're gone for a very long time because once they get in the hallway, they found somebody else out there to entertain or enjoy or be with. When they finally go back into the classroom, they interrupt the teacher and ask to sit by their friend, operative word, by their friend, not in their assigned seat. They won't sit down, sit still, they won't sit down, and they won't shut up. When the D tells the I what to do, the I responds, "Hey, I really like your shirt," and completely ignores them. When the teacher asks a question about the classroom rule, the I shouts out the answer. And it doesn't matter to them if it's right or wrong, they just have the need to speak. The S kid comes in, stands by the wall, keeping their backpack on their back, and an S enters a room always in a quiet manner with a very much please don't notice me kind of attitude, as well as an observing. I got to take it all in. I got to see what's going on here, who's here, where everybody's landing before I, and if I can't step back a little bit or if I don't know what's going on in there, I don't want to go in. The S waits to be greeted and directed by the teacher. As soon as they are, they whisper to the teacher that there's a little boy in the hallway crying. S's are hyper-vigilant about the feelings of other people, really sensitive. It's one of their S words. The S does exactly what the D tells them to do. When the teacher asks a question about a classroom rule, the S knows the answer, and it's probably correct, but they will not raise their hand and offer that answer. It's that don't notice me, and what if I'm wrong? The C kid comes into the classroom clinging to their parent. They have their backpack on correctly, and it's full of all of the things that a kid could possibly need on the first day of school, all the supplies, because a C always comes prepared. They stay with their parent until they reach their assigned desk. As soon as they reach their assigned desk, they sit down, they begin to get organized because they have this high need for being tidy. When the D tells them what to do, they completely ignore the D. When the teacher asks a classroom question, the C can raises their hand, waits to be called on, and has already found the classroom rules posted on the bulletin board, and they've memorized them because it's important to them to follow the rules. Recognize anybody in one of those or many of those different personalities? In our family, our oldest was a D, high D. I'm a high I. Our youngest, high S. And Dave's a high C. So I tell people we kind of had a zoo going on at our house. But most families do. Most of you, you might have a kid who's similar, but your predominant style very often are very different from one another. So there's a brief introduction to all of those letters. Our goal is not to label each other. Someone said once, I love this, labeling is disabling. So we don't want to label each other, including ourselves, and we don't want to label ourselves to the point of making excuses. What we want to do, our goal is to understand and balance our own personality. That'll be the second half tonight, but also to understand other people, how they're wired, and how when I want everything to be about having fun, it makes my D son crazy, it makes my C husband crazy, and it makes my S son feel a little conflicted because mommy wants to have fun and everybody else is all serious about getting work done. I'm not sure what to do because I like want to make everybody happy. So it really helps to understand when you can figure out. And this little test, I think, is a really helpful. I mean, it's so not very in depth by any stretch of imagination, but it's helpful to kind of get an idea. Robert Rahm also has, if you have young children, I would say up to like middle school. I think they have teenage ones too. Becky Martin used all of his materials. He has some great materials that you can order that where kids can take tests and fill out little books and figure things out. And Becky Martin, who is like the resource queen, says those things were excellent and helpful, and they had great discussions from them. I didn't use them. My kids were a little too old by then. Okay. So let's jump into these. We'll start with the D. The D is an extrovert and task-focused. A D is energized by productivity and by accomplishing things. Their nickname is the doer. They don't like to waste time. They want to get things done. The D is the personality that is born to become a leader. Now, others in here can become leaders, but they're wired to be a leader. And very often, they're the kid at school or at home that gets in trouble for being bossy. But that's how they're wired, to tell people what to do, because someday, that's probably the kind of role that they're going to be in. They are self-starters. They're unafraid of new situations. They're very confident. Of all the personalities, nothing seems to rattle them. They can go into any situation. I was telling the girls this morning, I shouldn't say that because I'll be saying it all night. But anyway, our D, when he started looking at colleges, was super excited about going to all these different colleges and spending the night with what our S thought were strangers. And RD was all excited every time he went to the couple different places. He didn't go to tons of places, but a few different places, about spending the night. And this one was like, I will never do that. And he didn't. He didn't. You're not going to ask me to go spend the night with people I don't even know in a dorm that I've never even been in, you know. But the D, that is like very exciting. They love a challenge. They love new situations. In fact, they welcome a challenge. They like things done the right way. So does the C, but here's the difference. The D likes things done the right way, and they believe their way is the right way. A C likes things done the right way according to what they figure out is the right way. It's not about them, but the D is so self-confident that they are certain the right way is their way. And so if you're raising or if your husband is like that, that's something that is often hard to deal with. Again, they make decisions quickly, but they have this God-given wisdom where their decisions very often are right on the money. The I makes impulsive decisions because they're purely impulsive and they live in the moment. But the I doesn't look down the road, and they don't count the cost, and they don't know what it's going to mean, and they want to do everything. So their impulsive decisions often are destructive, where the D's, not always, of course, but many, many times they're very good decisions. The biggest fear of the D is to not feel in control. One of the best things we did with our D son was after fighting for quite a few years. Well, there were two times we gave up fighting. We would fight constantly about homework, and I went to see those of you who know Fred Lubashur. They just moved away from left Calvary. Last Sunday was their last weekend, and they've been here since 1967 at Calvary. Anyway, he was the counselor at Coral Street, and so I went to see him when Ben was in fourth grade, and we were fighting every single night over his homework. And Fred said, as only Fred could, "Mrs. Jameson, who's in fourth grade?" Ben, "Well, I would go home tonight and say, Benjamin, you are in fourth grade. And if you don't get your homework done, you need to talk to Mr. Hockenberry tomorrow. You can do your homework however you want." Part of the problem was I need to sit at a table with a lot of light and it's quiet, and he didn't ever want to do that. That night, that child went to our basement. I don't know exactly what he turned on, but the TV, probably the radio, put his homework all over the floor and was up and down and here and there. But guess what? We didn't fight anymore. And I can't even remember a time he didn't get his homework done. He needed to be in control of that. The other thing was fighting about chores all the time, all the time, all the time. And finally, we said, okay, you have 3 B's on the weekend. You have from Friday night till Sunday night. You can do it whenever you want. If you can just give them a little bit of control. Your 3 B's are, you got to pick up the basement with your brother, you got to clean your bedroom, and you got to clean your bathroom. Once we did any little thing that you can give them, especially as they get older as a D, to help them feel in control, that it's going to bring out the best in them. And they feel very, very secure when they're in control. Now, they have to also learn you can't be in control of everything and everyone because they want to. You know, I can't tell you how many times Ben would say when he's little, "Mommy, I need to be the boss today." "No, Benjamin, honey, I'm the boss every day." "No, I need to be the boss. Andy, Bubby is the boss today." "No, you know," so that kind of thing. Typically, D's process by gathering facts, setting goals, looking at the big picture. They are big picture people. Details make them crazy. So that's a real problem for them. Under pressure, a D becomes, one of their D words is domineering. And under pressure, they become more domineering and less, well, they never have a ton of compassion towards people. I'm not saying Ds aren't loving, but by nature, their first emotion is not compassion because they're task-driven. So under pressure, they can get pretty nasty. And if you're a D or if you're raising one, you have to help them deal with that. But on the other hand, under pressure, they perform well. Anytime Ben was on a sports team and it was down to the wire with 2 outs and full count, and one time I remember he had a broken thumb, called him up to bat, and he was at his very best. There is something about a D when the pressure's, that's why they wait till the last minute sometimes to do things. Because the more pressure they have, the more productive very often that they are. Their life view is work. They tend to be a realist. They are not silly because that feels like it's wasting time and energy to be silly. They want to be productive. So we're going to skip balancing that personality, move on to the I, and then we'll come back to that, okay? The I is an extrovert with all capital letters and people focused. The I is energized by people, and the more, the merrier. The I is always thinking, this could be my next best friend. The I has many best friends. This personality doesn't get it. In fact, all the best friends is a little bit hurtful to this personality because it's like, well, am I really your best friend or aren't I? But the I can tell you from being a high I, it is as sincere as it can be, particularly when I'm with you. Eyes of all of the personalities live so much in the moment. And they are all about people, very energized by people. They're the life of the party without trying to be because they love attention. They literally, I know it's hard for some of you to really get, I totally understand that, but they literally walk around with this invisible little stage under their feet. And they think this is an opportunity to entertain everyone. My kids used to say to me all the time when we'd get on an elevator, Mom, please, please, please don't talk to everyone. Because I would get, hey, how's everybody doing today? And kind of loud. And, you know, my D was kind of like, stop it. This is ridiculous. And the S was like shrinking, like, this is so embarrassing, so embarrassing, so embarrassing. No. And the C was sort of ignoring me because he was kind of used to it. But eyes are flexible and they talk a lot. In fact, they exaggerate a lot. A ton. They prefer fun. They're impulsive decision makers, which we always already talked about. Their biggest fear, you probably could guess, is rejection. They want so badly for you to like them. That's really hard for them if they think you don't like them. Under pressure, they become uber disorganized and become random in their thought and in their tasks. An eye is disorganized by nature, so an eye often lives life. They have a full capacity for a lot, with a lot of people, a lot of things, so they're constantly sort of here, there. A lot of eye moms are putting out fires because the system and the organization doesn't guide them. Talked to an eye mom afterwards for a long time this morning, and she said, that is so true. She's a homeschooling mom, has four kids, and she said, that is the truth. I spend my everyday putting out fires because I don't have a schedule, so the schedule doesn't make my decisions. They're very emotionally driven. They love big. They're mad big. They're sad big. They tend to be kind of moody. And so you have to temper that. Okay. Their life view. Did I give you the life view of the lion? Work. Yeah, I did. Their life view of the life view of the eye is fun. That's why they want to do everything with other people. I am known for doing my errands with a friend. I will drop everything a friend calls. You want to go to Target? Yep. I'm in the middle of cleaning my house. I don't care. I just want to be with people. I have also been known to start with one person and call like 10 people trying to find somebody to do it with me. I don't want to do it alone. I don't exercise alone. I mean, of course, I do things alone. And you have to, and I needs to learn to be really comfortable being alone. That's a very important part. Our goal is balance. But that's never my first choice. And when someone says, oh, did you go alone? I'm always like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. No, I wouldn't go to a restaurant alone, a movie alone. I've gotten this really great thing that I've been doing with a girlfriend. Dave works the games, and I like to go. We used to go all the time, and now we don't go anymore. He works the games. So I tried with my friend one day. I said, let's just go up and see if we can get a ticket for $20. So I've done that twice now. I'm so proud of myself because it's not really my forte. And just, you know, walk up to somebody and say, we have $20. We don't care if we go in or we go back home and watch it on the couch. You want the money? You can't believe how easy it is. So if you ever want to do that. But somebody said to me, you do that by yourself? Because Dave's, you know, working the games. I'm like, no, I would never go to a Penn State game alone. That would be, you know, and I just doesn't, that's just not really in their vocabulary. They want every, so if you're raising an I child and they have a hard time with chores, come alongside them, turn it into a game, be there with them. That makes it a whole heck of a lot more fun for them. Fun is the ticket. S. And S, the S and C, okay, so the I and D are extroverts, energized from the outside. The S and the C are introverts, energized from inward things. The S is an introvert and people-focused, but very different than the I. Truly, for an I, it's almost like any person will do, because everyone is your potential new best friend. Not true for an S. An S is energized by small groups and by meaningful relationships. S's are loyal. S's have best friends for life. They don't lose touch with them very often. They are team players. And you guys good? You all caught up? Okay. They are slow moving. They're very stable and predictable, but they're slow moving. Like, don't press me. The impulsiveness of an I and a D kind of makes an S a little bit crazy. They just calm down, chill out, relax a little bit. The S is very empathetic. They're really in tune to those around them. The I is kind of in tune to those around them, but the motivation is more about me for the I. The S, the motivation, is about you. Really sensitive to who you are, what your needs are. They listen carefully. They really want things to be peaceful. They hate people to argue. They avoid conflict at all costs. They are not comfortable when something is unsettled relationally. Really, really hard for them. I was telling, I have a friend who's an S, and she said when she would go into timeout, her mom, that was one of her main uses of consequence and discipline. And she said as soon as it happened, she had to go to timeout, and she was high S. And she said, I just constantly drove my mom nuts, poking my head. It was always, her timeout was always in the bedroom. I poked my head out the door. Now, can I come out now, now, now? And she says now that she understands herself, if her mom had made sure that relationally they were okay, and then put her in timeout, would have been so much easier. She said, but my can I come out now was like, okay, we have to reconnect because I can't function if we don't reconnect. So I could see some of you S's in the room going, yeah, that's really, really true. So if you're raising an S, that's an important thing to understand. They procrastinate. They don't have, I'm not saying they don't have opinions, but they don't have strong opinions like the other three. And so they very often want someone else to make the decision because really often they don't care. I can remember really pressing Andy on a vacation. It turned into a bad scene. Dave had to say to me, stop. I wanted so bad for Andy to make a decision because his D brother always made all the decisions. Or I did, or his dad did. And I was like, honey, tell us what you, I melted him to tears. Like, I don't know. Because an S is kind of like, I'm okay if you decide. Now, not always, of course, but in general, they really don't have, they're not the opinionated kind of personality. Their biggest fear is change. I'm secure. Things are working this way. I know the lay of the land. Please don't upset the apple cart. The C doesn't like change either. But the C is more about, I've got my systems all figured out. Everything's organized and in order. Please don't disrupt my systems. This one's all about people. I know who you are and who you are and what I need and who to stay away from. And I know what this looks like. I know what to expect. Please, please don't. They really resist change. Or at least change is extremely difficult for them. So a move or a new school or a transition, really tough for an S. They typically need to process by thinking something through alone. I tend to have S's as close friends. I'm very often they'll say to me, I don't know, I'm thinking about it because I'm, Miss Impulsive trying to get a decision out of them. I'm thinking about it. Give me a minute here. Under pressure, they will avoid making a decision anymore because they're going to avoid that conflict at all costs. So now the S is really comfortable turning around. Because he's been here a while. She's recognized a few people she knows. She's sort of warmed up. She knows I'm not going to embarrass her too much. And I held her really close when I talked about her. Did you notice that? So now she's pretty comfortable to turn around and face everybody. Really important. I don't think I was as sensitive to my S as I should have been as a mom. But they will, one of their reasons for avoiding conflict is because they don't want to, for not making decisions, sorry, is they don't want it to turn into a conflict. If I make the decision and you don't agree with it, now we've got conflict. And a look can be conflict for an S. It doesn't have to be a big open conflict. I mean, really, I used to say, please don't, let's not get into this and be mad at me. We spanked our children. We believed that that was biblical to a certain age. We didn't spank them long. We had to come up with some other ways for disciplining the D because you could spank him 18 times a day and it didn't make a difference. This one, you looked at him and said, Mommy's so disappointed, and that was it. He was changed his behavior because of that need for a relationship. Life view, you might guess, is peace. Peace relationally, but also peace in pace. Does that make sense? They need a peaceful pace. They need someone, and they don't have the same, this isn't bad. They don't have the same capacity as these three. They need some downtime. They need some relational time. They need to not be rushed in the morning, that kind of thing. You S's who are in here are saying, yeah, that's really true. And so if they're being raised by one of these parents, that can be a really tough relationship, or if you're married to one of the other. When we used to travel together, when the kids were little, the four of us, my family's all from California, Dave and I met in Arizona, so we went west a lot, and inevitably, living back here in a small airport, we would hit some kind of major weather snag, and travel could become stressful just like that. And in a stressful situation, one of the things that we learned, Ben, Dave, and myself all have D in us, and under stress, the D would come to the surface. This one, especially when we traveled, there were all kinds of other situations, as he got older, would say something like, you all need to relax, and would just completely go away from us. So he was here, he was home a couple weekends ago, and he was talking about, he doesn't talk like that because he's an S, he doesn't do that, but he said, it was so horrible to travel with our family, I hated it, and I don't know what all he said. He was talking to his college roommate, and I got really defensive. I said, now wait a minute, was I really that bad when we traveled? He's like, no, it was Dad and Ben, but it felt like our whole family. But he just had to separate himself. Can't do this. You guys are nuts. And it's making me nuts, and I'm not going to be a part of it. Just remove themselves. When they're little and they can't remove themselves, be careful because they'll blame themselves. Back in the days when we were very unhealthy and there was a lot more overt conflict in our home, we would find Andy hiding a lot of times, either pulling on his hair or hitting his head or saying he's stupid, his family doesn't get along. You have to be really careful. They're uber sensitive. So those S personalities. C. The C is an introvert and task focused. The C is energized by doing things well and completing tasks. Of all four of the personalities, they are so gifted at finishing the job. You know, that's not very common. Most of us start well, but we don't finish well. But a C can finish the job. It actually gives them life. Their nickname is the thinker. They need some time to think and process and be logical about things. One of their C words is conscientious and careful. They like things to be done right. They really crave order. They love things like charts and graphs and maps and Excel spreadsheets, which makes me a little bit crazy in my personality, but they, and it also makes the S a little crazy, but they excel in that. Oh, no pun intended. Yeah. So bringing order and systems to things, they're very, very, very gifted at, which is really helpful to the other personalities. They pursue excellence naturally, but that also makes them, of the four, the most critical of all the personalities. They are the hardest, they are their own worst enemy. They are very, very hard on themselves, and they are very, very hard on the people they live with. And they tend to not be verbal, so they're hard on the others, and they often don't tell the others that they're mad at them or that they've hurt them or that they're frustrated with them or whatever, because they didn't reach excellence. They're neat and tidy and notice every detail. They ask a lot of questions. C's in the room, isn't that true? They have an innate need to have their questions answered, because from their questions, they're able to put things in systems and make lists, and that's how they navigate through life. C's love lists. There's one thing they love more than a list: crossing the list off, right? Checking it off and saying it's done. C's make lists so long no one could possibly accomplish it. So if you are a C personality, you have to be careful about that, because you live in this chronic state of frustration because you're hard on yourself. You've got a list 10 miles long and you can never, ever, ever cross everything off. So you're always a little bit frustrated. An I or a D who might make their notes really random. You know, if you saw my notes sometimes, even ones that you wouldn't believe what they look like, a sea would have a hard time even looking at that, because they come along in life and they put things in systems and procedures, and that they're so helpful. They're a great admin, and they are so helpful to the rest of us. They agonize over their decisions because they want their decision to be right. And unlike the D, who intrinsically says this is the right decision, they believe that the right decision is out there. They've got to find it. They've got to discover it. They've got to figure it out up here. They've got to think it through. And they can't move ahead unless they do that. They also resist change, but again, for a very different reason than the S. Their biggest fear is criticism, but not of them personally. The I hates to be criticized personally because she wants you to like her. But the C hates it when you criticize her work. The I is like, work? What's work? We're all having fun, aren't we? I want you to like me. The C is like, well, not everybody likes everybody. It's okay. I don't like everybody. But how'd you like my work? What do you think of my work? How did I do? Did that help you? That's really, really very important to them. Typically, they process again by asking questions, and then they make their list and navigate through their situations. Under pressure, they often become excessively critical because they use hard work and excellence to navigate through life. So they begin to get criticized themselves. They begin to criticize everybody else. And makes it very difficult. They have a right way for doing things. I found out early on in our marriage there were certain things I would not do for David because it would inevitably end up in a fight. First couple times he asked me to help him wash the car, I was so excited because what am I thinking? This is going to be so much fun. We're going outside to be together and wash the car, and I'm envisioning taking the hose and squirting each other. He has a plan. And it is to get that car washed, and there's a right way to do it. And I couldn't do anything right. And after, I don't remember, a number of times I said, you know what, I'm not washing the car with you anymore. This is no fun. He's like, I don't care if you want to have fun. We're here to wash car. In the early years, we both are healthier now. We've learned a lot of things. God's grown us up, and we're not nearly as particular in our distinctives. But early on, I said, you will do your laundry and you will do your ironing, because I couldn't do it right. There would be one crease, like down here where the shirt's going to be tucked in. And he'd be like, did you know there's still a crease on that? Do we care? You're going to look so nice in that shirt. Where's the ironing board? And then, you know, that's why we have to understand personalities. He wasn't trying to be rude to me. Did he need to learn maybe a different way to say it? Oh, maybe. And did I need to maybe, out of love for him, try to get the crease out? Yeah, you know what I mean? We're not going to those extremes. But understand that there's a right way to do things. And he needs, eyes don't care about the right way, as long as we're having a good time. If you're breaking a rule, oh well, we'll say we're sorry. Now, there's not a right or wrong on any of this. It's just understanding, right? Life view for the C will make a lot of sense after all that. Rules. They have this innate need for order, and they crave a systematic approach to life. So when they have to interact with those that are different than that, it's hard for them. So we are going to, good timing. We're going to take a break, but what I want you to do after you've heard this bit so far is take that index card and, or you don't have to write it down, think through, and I would love for you to talk among your tables about this. Think of, from what you've heard now, what are some ways that you could approach that conflict, that person, a little bit differently that might make it, or just even a way you could understand what you now understand about them. Does that make sense? Say that super well. But just what's a solution to what you wrote on your card after what you heard? So feel free to get more coffee, use the restroom, get more cookies and Chex Mix. And we'll take a break for, about 10 minutes. And then you're going to have to get your pen or pencil out and put on your listening seatbelt, and we're going to fill in a ton of blanks on balancing personalities. Sarah's going to do a PowerPoint, right, for the second part. for the fill in the blanks, we're not going to start doing PowerPoints again. I just want people to know that. But this was an old one that we could pull up off the web, and it'll help. I don't usually teach with a lot of fill in the blanks, so. By talking about tips for balancing each personality. And in this section, I mostly want you to think about yourself, unless you've really easily identified your kids that you're raising, and maybe you can think about them too. But before we get into that, I didn't give you any further study, but I want to give you a couple of passages that you can read on your own if you want to. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, but then I heard somebody on the radio preaching from Ephesians 4 and thought, oh, maybe the whole chapter, I don't know. And then Colossians 3, I would say definitely the whole chapter. And I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Colossians 3 because the goal, like we said, is not to label ourselves and get, let me say that again, sorry. Romans 12, 1 through 3, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and then all of Colossians 3. The goal for a Jesus follower is always to become more like Christ and to let the Holy Spirit be our decision maker, to be Holy Spirit driven over emotionally driven or personality driven. We always want to be working towards balance. So that's the big word in this second half, balance. How do we work towards balance? And I just want to remind us from reading these words from Colossians that our instruction as Jesus followers is to clothe ourselves with Christ. But we don't want to deny how we're wired. That doesn't do us any good. But with how we're wired, we keep bringing that into greater balance with being like Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit make our decisions. So I'm reading out the Amplified Bible, Colossians 3, verse 10, and then 12 through 14. Clothe yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image or the likeness of Christ who created it. And then verse 12. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior that is marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feelings, a lowly opinion of yourselves. That does not mean put yourself down. That's just a humble opinion. Gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a grievance or a difference or a complaint against another, readily pardon each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all things, put on love. So that's our goal. And someone said this morning, I don't know about this in terms of being a Jesus follower. It's not a conflict. It's just that the goal is always bringing how we're wired into greater measure in us, but in a balanced way, along with the fruit of the Spirit and the things that describe Christ. So as we talked about the lion not being naturally compassionate, that's something that if a lion who's a Jesus follower can't say, oh, well, that's how I am, I'm not compassionate. No, the goal is to work towards greater compassion. Whereas this little one, she might have to work towards greater confidence in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Fear can be a big thing of hers. So does that make sense? Really important part. All right, so I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. I'm not going to say a whole lot about each one. And then we'll, if you want to stay for discussion, or you'll be free to go. Tips for balancing a D personality. Seek God on how to temper your strong will. Ds can get really bullyish. So seek God on how to temper your strong will. Learn to make communication two-way. A D always has something to say. And they always want to say it. So they've got to learn to listen. That's the next one. Practice being a better listener. Understand that you can come across as if you're trying to control others. A D can be very intimidating. Sometimes they mean to be, but some of that is just their wiring. People will mistake a D's motive for controlling everybody, when that really isn't their motive, that's how they operate. Although you are not naturally compassionate, work at being sensitive towards others and their feelings. Realize that life is not always black and white that makes D's crazy. They want life to be black and white. They want life to be right and wrong. They want there to be a list here and a list there, and when I'm here, I'm right, and when I'm there, I'm wrong. They want it that way, and it just isn't. So D's have to really work at understanding there, and life is not fair. To this day, my D can finish that sentence for me. And I say, but you know, Ben, life just, I know, but I want it to be fair. Makes me angry. It really frustrates them. Recognize your high need to feel in control, but work at not being too bossy. And I would add, particularly with your words, D's are really good at using their words to sometimes control people, but really make a statement and walk away and leave feelings pretty hurt. Seek opportunities to let others make the decision. That is really hard for a D. Sometimes you just have to make it your mission to, for a long time, the Lord was having me just say to people, no, you go in front of me. No, really, you eat first. No, you, just because I had a tendency to be a little bit bullheaded with the D in me sometimes and go after the thing. Humble yourselves before God and others. That's probably the key thing for D's. Humility does not come easily for them. They're very confident in who they are, which is God-given and wonderful. But humbling, and a D has a really hard time humbling themselves before a person. So if they can start by humbling themselves in God's presence. I have spent many times saying to the Lord, okay, I'm here. I want to humble myself here because I don't want to go out there and do it. Because that's so darn embarrassing. But I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. Show me. What does it mean to humble myself before you and make myself lowly without making myself insecure and, you know, all those unhealthy things. There's balance, balance, balance. Pay attention to your blind spot as a D, which is reluctance to follow. D's are wired to lead. But as we used to tell Ben, the best leaders in life have learned how to follow, right? And if you are a D, I would put in parentheses next to follow, submit. Learn how to submit. D's do not want to submit because they think their way is the right way. And you will never be as good of a leader as when you've learned how to submit to others and default to them, defer to them, I should say, and follow. Secret tip, learn to listen even though you always have something to say. That's the secret tip for the D. Learn to listen even though you always have something to say. I'm not sure why I didn't put that on your handout because I kind of like those secret tips, but somehow I missed putting it on there. You should see my personality file because it changes depending on who I'm doing it for. Like tomorrow when I do it for high schoolers, it's similar, but it's very different. I got this file and I'm such an eye. Last night I had papers. I literally had to stop and pray. Like, God, help me get this organized because this is the biggest mess. But I did. He did. Tips for balancing an eye personality. Recognize your difficulty in completing tasks. Eyes are notorious for starting enthusiastically and never finishing. Eyes are known for having a million projects undone. Eyes are known for saying, yes, I'll join that team, or yes, I'll serve in that way, or yes, and pretty soon they're the ones not showing up or calling and saying whatever. Now, again, depends on your other. I tend to not do that because I have D in me. So I finish strong. I also had someone challenge me when I was in my early 30s, and you've maybe heard me say this before. The common start strong, the uncommon finish strong. And I remember thinking, I want to be uncommon. Because I had seen that, and I knew I had that tendency. Realize your desire and need for variety and flexibility. You really, if you're an I, you need to put yourself, if you can, in a place where it's not the same every day. I had to work for 4 months, you will not believe this if you know me well, at the county tax assessor's office. I thought I was going to die. But I moved from my mother's to my daddy's, and they were very southern down there, and they always said daddy and mother, so I tend to say that up here that people are kind of like, her daddy? I don't know, really weird term. But in the South, that's very common. And I said to my daddy, I'm tired of school. I'm not going to college. And he said, okay. then I'll get you a job. I know Ken Coons. He's county tax assessor in Phoenix, and I'll be calling him up. And I had an interview within 24 hours. And here I went off to work, like pushing someone else's pencil, filing things, talking about numbers. If you know me, I mean, it's so not wired. I thought I was going to die. Came home after 2 weeks. I go, okay, I'm going back to college. I'm going to quit my job. And he said, you're not quitting your job until the semester's over. Then you can go to college. And then I got on a fast track. But my point in all of that is, an eye desperately needs flexibility. We said to Ben constantly, one of the reasons why we think you would love teaching, it is different every single day. You will not be able to do what Andy does and get up and put on a suit every day and go to the same office and sit at a desk and crunch numbers all day and maybe even not talk to people, you know? So recognize you need that in whatever, stay-at-home moms, you need to get out and do some stuff. You need to have some friends over if you're an I. You need that variety factor, so to speak. Don't take on more than you can handle. Learn to say no. Eyes say yes to everything because they live in the moment. So when you tell me what you're doing and you invite me along, I'm like, that sounds fun, yes. And then you, yes, yes. Learn to say no. Eyes have a high capacity for doing a lot, but you find that you don't do any of it well. Learn to be more intentional about being on time. I'm going to be really rude, but it comes from my... I'm going to be really rude. It's not pointed to you. It's about me. I learned this the hard way a number of years ago. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, being late is not cute, Sherilyn. It's rude. See, eyes are all about fun and cute. This has nothing to do with you coming late. I'm sure there's a reason. There was a reason you were late. Of course there was. I know there was. But eyes, because they live in the moment, they're having so much fun or they're engaged with this conversation, they're not clock watchers. But God really showed me that is so rude to the person that you're meeting. And I still am late once in a while, but I'm not chronically late like I used to be. Eyes are really bad about that. So seek out strategies for getting organized. By nature, an eye is not organized. They're random thinkers. Again, they have that high capacity for a lot of things, so they tend to stay disorganized. Recognize your need to stay consistent in reading and studying the Word of God so that you can live by truth. Of all the personalities, the eye is the most emotionally driven. Like I said before, they love big, they're mad big, they're sad big. You need to really, truth is a very important thing. They often are the personality, too, that's pretty comfortable with what they would call a little white lie, but it really is just dishonesty. They're just kind of comfortable with that because they're just random, and they live sort of in the gray, and the systems isn't. Now, an IC, that isn't true. Any ICs in here? Anybody? That's a great personality that balances each other out. I don't know if IC is a classic. Typically, the classic patterns are in this category or this category. I don't know all the classic patterns, but very often someone's an ID or a DI or an SC or a CS. Not always, because there's 15 of them. So anyway, since I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, I better move on. Seek out your friends who enjoy laughing and having a good time. Especially if you're in a family surrounded by those who don't. I grew up in a family with a lot of eyes. So when I married my high C husband, whose family is a lot of C's and S's, and in my family at the holidays, when the meal is over, you usually, sometimes we'd clean it up, but kind of rinse the dishes, and then you started playing games, and we literally would buy costumes and plan little things that entertain each other, and I mean, crazy stuff, really. And first couple times, here's my C husband over literally on the corner of the couch, kind of like, what the heck is going on? And then I go to his family, it's mostly S's and C's, and I'm, blah, 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 let's play games. And they're looking, I remember the day I said to myself, stop telling them jokes they don't think you're funny. Stop, stop. I remember where we were in Disney World. I was in a minivan sitting on the floor because we didn't all fit. I remember, like, stop. They don't think you're fun or funny. Stop. So I quit. But anyway, when they're done with their meal, they clean everything up, start to finish. Food's put away, everything. We don't keep it out, like, for later. Anyway, then they do, this is what they say to each other. I'm not kidding. Do you have anything you need us to do around here? You know, she's the hostess. Oh, we could wash my windows. Okay, we're going to all go in the basement and clean. That's why we got to understand this. It still makes me crazy, but I make them crazy. Okay, so seek out, you need laughter and you need fun as an eye. That's going to keep you alive. If I have too many, get to work from home quite a bit. And if I have too many days in the house by myself, oh boy, I start getting depressed. I start hearing weird voices. I mean, really, you got to find that fun factor where other personalities don't have to. Take time to think about a decision, even buying something small. The eye is so impulsive. That's one of their words, impulsive. Dave, my C husband, has said to me so many times, Charlene, you can buy it tomorrow, you can do it tomorrow, you can say it tomorrow. And that has saved me so many times. I said this morning, I wonder if somebody ever did research on which personality returns things the most. I bet it would be eyes who bought it in the moment, get home, and like, oh, shoot, shouldn't have done that. Pay attention to your blind spot. Big ego. Big ego. Different than the D's. You could probably tell from what I've said already. You know, the D's like, I've got the world by the tail. The I is like, woo, it's all about me. Let's have fun. And, you know, thinks everybody likes them. Everybody wants to be with them. And people do like I's, but it can turn into an ego thing. Secret tip. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Now, I's are nice. But the motivation very often is this intrinsic thing, and they aren't always, the motivation, I shouldn't say intrinsic, is this egotistical thing, and they aren't always about the other person. So that's why that's the secret tip. It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. They have a high need to be important and recognized and attention getting and all that. Tips for balancing an S personality. Told you it'd be a lot of writing. What's that? Oh, yes. Did I not say that? Yes, it is. Life view is fun. Yep. The nickname was Talker. Did I skip that? Crazy. Yeah. Who else asked me a question? I didn't say nicknames for any of them. Sorry. The D is the doer. The I is the talker. The S is the observer. And the C is the thinker. Did I give you life views for all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so fun. So moving on to S. Recognize your need for direct motivation and learn to try to set some goals. Typically, it depends on their mix, their combination, but an S has a hard time setting a goal and reaching it. Part of it is they don't want to fail. And I always say enlist the help of a D or a C, not an I. An I isn't great at goals and they'll forget about it. They won't hold you accountable. D, and especially a C, will hold you accountable. They'll come back and say, how are you doing on those goals? Put forth effort for being more enthusiastic. Not like the I. You're never going to get the kind of enthusiasm out of an S that you do an I. Ask me how I know. But one of the things that helped Andy and I, because maybe because I have an ego, but also because I'm sensitive about the way people see me, his lack of enthusiasm, I kind of always felt like once he got a little older, he didn't really like me as mom. And so we talked about that. And one of the things he does that helps me, he's never, ever going to. Now, Ben would run up to me and pick me up and throw me around or something crazy. Andy's never going to do that. But Andy learns, we've learned, where if I say, like when he was here recently, oh my gosh, it is so good to be with you. And he'll say, it's kind of like reflective listening for him. And it's really good to be with you, Mom. That helps me. So we can't expect them to be who they're not. But it's okay to say, I need a little bit from you. Because S's often will keep that very, because they're steady and they're stable. And they don't give you a lot of emoting. Assert yourself in making decisions and stick to your decision. An S is so easygoing, they're easily swayed. Did I say here, I might have only said it in the morning, we knew it would be ludicrous for us to constantly tell Andy, you gotta be a leader, like we did with Ben. So I tell you what we said to him, be your own person. because an S tends to be a follower, and you don't want them. It's okay to follow sometimes, of course, but if you're raising a kid, particularly in high school and college, you don't want them to be a follower. This is a kid, and if we don't set up strategies for the S in that situation, they will fail because they are too in tune to those around them. The story I told this morning was Andy being in college, and he went to a dry college. He went to Eastern University, it's dry. And he had two other roommates. Those two roommates and some other guys on the lacrosse team came into his room, their room, and started drinking. And I got pretty drunk. And he and another kid left the room, and whoever left beer cans around, and they got caught. And so he called. He said, the dean might be calling. And we said, well, what happened? You know, were you drinking? No. We had learned by that time. Our kids told us the truth. You know, somebody told me, you're crazy to believe them. Like, whatever. You haven't lived in our house. And I've never found a reason to not believe them. And he said, the dean might call you. I said, okay, well, we didn't get involved in it. You need to handle this unless the dean says we got to come. So he met with the dean. And, of course, we wanted to talk to him when it was over. And we're like, well, how'd it go or whatever? And he said, well, I just told him from the beginning. I'm going to tell you that if you want me to narc on my friends and give you names, I won't do it. So if you have to kick me out of Eastern, kick me out, because I won't do it. That's an S. Don't ask him to do it. Ben probably in that environment would have left, got the RA, maybe turned the alarm on, and said, you're not supposed to drink here. It's a dry school, you idiots. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have been rude, probably, I hope, but it wouldn't have bothered him to narc on them. That wouldn't, not an S. Don't ask me to do that. That's okay. Some parents would think that's terrible. He should, you know what I mean? It's okay. So what we helped him do was Dave spent in particular a lot of time talking through strategies with him up through like sixth grade. You know, now you know your friends who make good decisions. Here's what they might do in middle school. Here's what they might do in college. Those, and one of the things we always told them was, if you're in a situation that you're uncomfortable, just find a way to get away. And that was before cell phones, so they couldn't call us. But find a way to get away and go, I don't remember now if we said go find a phone, whatever. But he broke his ankle in seventh grade after basketball practice, running down some stairs. And I said to Dave, I guarantee you something was going on in that locker room that he was uncomfortable with. And sure enough, after he would never come tell us. But after about a week of doing my own investigation, I don't even know if he knows that now, but through some moms and Dave had some connections, obviously, we found out, yes, there was something going on up there that he was uncomfortable with. So he ran as fast as he could, fell and broke his ankle. But good. Rather have a broken ankle than be involved in what was going on there. So my point is, if you're raising an S, you really need to give them some strategies, because in the moment, they will not, they're not going to come up against people. Remember, they avoid conflict at all costs, unless they have another letter that gives them the guts to do that. Okay. Don't get in the habit of ignoring your feelings. Speak truth to others in a kind way. S's can become doormats really easily. So they need to learn to speak the truth. Purposely take on new challenges, preferably with someone who can help, can and will help you. If someone's willing to come alongside them, they're so much more willing to try something. So, see, some of you S's are shaking your head, you know. So enlist the help of someone else, or help your kid do that or whatever. Intentionally offer to be responsible for things. They tend to not be initiators. So encourage them, or if you are an S, take the initiation once in a while. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you stand up for yourself. One of the S words to me, this isn't listed on like ROM's site or anything, but is stuff. S's are known for stuffing their feelings. So help yourself and an S to not stuff and to get those feelings out. Sometimes starting by writing them is good. Recognize your innate resistance to change and make yourself try something new and uncomfortable once in a while. If an S tries something new, has to do something new too often, it's very stressful for them. So once in a while, not regularly. Pay attention to your blind spot, being non-assertive. It's hard for an S to assert themselves. That can be a blind spot. The secret tip is don't be afraid to say, what part of no don't you understand? If an S says no, it has taken them a ton of guts to do that. And so you S's who are working on that, one thing that's helpful is you find a little phrase, particularly if you have someone who tends to overpower you verbally or whatever, you find a little phrase like, I'm not going to let you speak to me that way anymore. And no matter what they say, that's what you give back. I'm not going to let you speak that to me. Oh, are you trying to threaten me? I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to let you speak. You just keep saying it over. It takes the kind of takes the fight out of it, and the person kind of, and there's nothing really after a while to argue about. So that's a helpful, little helpful tip. Okay, tips for balancing the C personality, and then we're done. Understand that you are highly sensitive and can be hurt easily. Purpose not to take everything personally. And stuff your feelings silently, or suffer silently, I should say. C's tend to live in their head. They've got a scenario going on in their head all the time. And because they're highly critical, it's very often a negative scenario. Not always, but often. They are self-critical and they are others critical. So don't take things personally. Work at not having a pessimistic outlook and attitude. Let the I help you out. That's a hard thing. Dave says often, I'm just being realistic. No, you're being negative. No, I'm being realistic. Well, he is sort of being realistic, and sometimes I'm being Miss Pollyanna, and that's not always good, you know? So learn to deal with disappointment and failure by not expecting perfection out of yourself, others, or circumstances. The C of all the personalities have the most unrealistic expectations for themselves, for you, for situations. The C is the person that you leave someplace. They're like, didn't you think it was cold in there? I can't believe they didn't have that microphone turned on. They're just very, because they crave that order and systems and procedures. So when they go somewhere and there aren't systems and procedures, it's nerve-wracking to them. Change your self-talk. Learn to say what is true, not what you think or feel, with an emphasis on think. C's are kind of, they idolize logic. So if I can think it through, it's going to be true. But it's really important to change that self-talk. C's very often have a lot of negative self-talk going on. And you'll hear it when you start pressing them to talk to you. And many times by the time Dave and I get to talking, I'm like, holy cow, all of that was in there? You're mad at me about all? Because he's been saving. It's been swirling around up here. So you got to really encourage, if you live with a C, they need to talk often. Because they can be, not always, but they can be grudge holders. Because they've been, see, it's been going around up here for a long time. And you haven't noticed. That makes them mad. I remember saying one time, if you don't tell me, there's no way I can know. And that was kind of shocking to him. Like, why wouldn't I know? Like, it's obvious. So C's have very high expectations. Although you are reserved by nature, learn good conversation and social skills. It goes against that task-focused tendency, but it's really important. C's can, over time, just retreat from life more and more. Because it just kind of, they go into situations that kind of irritates them because they do tend to be critical, or systems don't work, or things don't work, and they don't get a chance to work it out and resolve, so they can just kind of keep retreating and going internally. Intentionally be spontaneous once in a while. Spontaneity, a C is not the person you call when you want to do something on a dime. My C friend, I always knew like weeks ahead I had to call, because C's have their list. And if you call and they're working through their list, you're not on it. That doesn't work well in their head and their life. But I remember one time I had to cancel like a lunch with her or something, and I said something like, can you do it tomorrow or whatever? And she's like, well, let me look. She's looking on her list. And she said, no, that's the day I go and buy bread for. She just said her husband's name. I was like, not kidding. She lived in Stormstown, and you know, some, particularly C's, get real funny about living out there. Because she would say to me all the time, not coming into town. Not even for me? Okay. Well, I'll come to you. How about if I come to you? Well, let me look. You know, that's how they are. I'm not criticizing them, but they have their, they live, they're task focused. And their list, they can't, it's not, I can throw out my to-do list in a heartbeat if you ask me to do something fun, but not a C. That feels so wrong and so irresponsible to them. It's just how they're wired. So, try to be spontaneous once in a while. Make it, she's a friend who moved away, and she's going to be back soon. And I called her the other day. I go, okay, can I get on the calendar? And she's like, yes, I have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning for my friends. The rest is for my family. Okay. Could I have Tuesday at 1 o'clock? Let me look. Yes. Could I call you when my meeting's over? Because I'm not sure exactly what time it's going to be over. Well, what time would you be calling? You know, that's a C. That's a C. It's got to fit in the box. And it's okay. And so I've learned to, or we would go to a restaurant, and I would say, okay, what's wrong? Because she's, you know, kind of hypercritical. The music was always too loud. It was always too cold, too hot. The ice melted. The soup was too cold. You know, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing. No, something's wrong. I adore her, and I talk to her just like this. Well, it's a new menu. Things are very expensive. Do you want to go somewhere else? No, really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Why don't we go somewhere else? Okay, let's go somewhere else. Waitress! She's so funny. I adore her, but man, she's a rip. And when we would try to choose a restaurant, and she would say, wherever you want to go. No, because it really doesn't matter to me, and it does to you. Okay, well, I was thinking Applebee's because, okay, let's go to Applebee's. So fun. Oh, I love to make fun of her. She's a doll. Two more. Make yourself try new things and go into new situations. And then the last one is super important. Allow yourself ample time to accomplish things. Because see, the C, because of that task focus, if you have a lot of things you didn't get to complete, that's why sometimes C moms, if you're a stay-at-home mom, and even if you're not stay-at-home, but the mom thing is so hard because you're constantly interrupted, and that drives us nuts. So put less on your to-do list and give yourself ample time because you are energized when you complete a task. So it's really important. And a C child, don't constantly pull them from the middle of being in the middle of something. That makes them really as hard on them. Last one, not last one, but the other one. Pay attention to your blind spot. Valuing people as much as the task. Valuing people as much as the task. And the secret tip is people don't care how much you know until they what? Know how much you care. It's not that C's don't care about people. It's that C's focus is accomplishing something. So they care, but they think you should know they care. But people, I have to look at that with it so I don't say it wrong. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you want to stick around, there's some brief instruction for discussion. You can do it at the table you're at or join a table. If you don't, you are more than welcome to go and take a little bit of the snacks with you. Anybody want one of the discussion papers? I think one got left on that table this morning. Anybody want them? Everybody tired and ready to go home? Yeah? I know. Moen? The Robert Rahm book? That one or The Treasure Tree? The Robert Rahm book? Yeah. Who do you think you are anyway? Robert Rahm. It's R-H-O-M. If you go to personalityinsights.com, now I'm thinking it does have an S. It has, that's where you'll find it. Yeah, it has all the blends in it. Anybody else want one? Everybody good? Okay. Thanks, ladies. That was a lot to listen to. It was a lot to say. Any questions before we go? Because we're good on time. We're really good on time. Any? Yeah, go ahead, Lindsay. Oh, did I skip it? The blind spot was reluctance to follow. Or put in parentheses, submit. And the secret tip was to learn to listen even though you always have something to say. Got it? Any other questions or things you missed or things you're wondering about?